welcome to the Nittany Blues Podcast. By Penn State fans, for Penn State fans. Here are your hosts, Andrew and Vince.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Nittany Blues Podcast, and happy Halloween to all of you. Hope that you're all having a nice holiday out there. Thanks for taking the time to tune in and hear our game preview of Maryland. So Penn State is back in the win column after their most recent win over Indiana. Penn State is taking a trip down to College Park this weekend to take on the Terrapins. So we got a full preview for you on that. But Vince, how are you doing, man? How's your Halloween going?
Yeah, it's going well. What did you dress up as?
Yeah, so my costume, I was trying to be a little creative this year because I've in past years, you know, kind of did the very generic thing of like, oh, I'm like Superman. And for a couple years, I did Maverick, like I bought the bomber jacket and stuff. So I found my old Carson Wentz jersey and I went and got some poster board from Lowe's and I wrote on there, "Will play for any NFL team." And so I just put that over the jersey and I wore this to a Halloween party of one of Julie's coworkers. It was a big hit. Everybody got a kick out of it. Like some people didn't get it right away that like what the joke was. But once I turned around and showed them the jersey I was wearing, everybody just died. So it was a big hit.
That's a bit creative. I definitely am like a generic guy. I'm not going to drop like tons of money or put tons of effort into a costume. I'm usually just throwing an Eagles jersey and I'm good to go. So to school today, I wore my old Connor Barwin jersey. That way everyone knew I wasn't like a bandwagon Eagles fan. pretty old jersey. It's kind of unfortunate too. I was between that and a Zach Ertz jersey. And then Chip Kelly got fired and they went to a 4-3 and kind of let Connor Barwin go. So like, I only had it for like a year after he got, you know, traded or released. So that was a bit of a bummer. And then for my Halloween party, I was the Slim Reaper, Devonta Smith. I have his jersey. And then what I was thinking about potentially, because we both got Carson Wentz jerseys at the same time, I was thinking about just doing the classic duct tape over Wentz and writing A.J. Brown and Sharpie. And there you go. I got A.J. Brown. Set a receiving record for six games over 125 yards. So definitely lucky the Titans were willing to trade him to the birds.
Isn't that a fact? Yeah. What I love is like after their most recent trade with the Titans where the Eagles got Kevin Byard, everybody was making the joke that if you're the Tennessee Titans and you see the phone ring and it's Howie Roseman on the other end of the line, like his name shows up with the caller ID, just don't pick up the phone. Like, just don't pick it up because you're not going to come out on top in that deal. So I just thought that was funny because it's like, how did the Titans let this happen to them again?
Yeah, he's been fleecing people left and right. And it just makes you think like, man, if Howie Roseman was like the GM of the Sixers, how many rings would the Sixers have right now?
Yeah, I don't know, but you know, after some more recent trade news by the Sixers, I mean, I don't know if I'm still ready emotionally and spiritually for a Philadelphia 76ers season again. So we'll see how the rest of the season pans out.
Yeah, I'll probably watch them on Christmas like I normally do. And, you know, maybe over that winter break. But for the most part, I'm just going to watch them for playoffs when there's not quite as much going on in the Penn State world. And Penn State basketball and hockey keeps me plenty busy in the winter, along with the Eagles and bowl games of football. So definitely a lot going on. But before we get into our Maryland preview today, quick question: best Halloween candy?
Man, that's a tough one. I got to go with like a full size Reese's. I'm a big fan of Reese's. I like the full size candy bars on Halloween is like the unicorn of gets like when you're a trick or treater. Mm-hmm. And so getting like a full size Reese's, that is like, you know, striking gold in my opinion. Like a full size Snickers is probably a close second. But yeah, the Reese's for me, that's like my weakness. But what about you?
For me, I'm a big Twix guy.
Okay.
I really do like that caramel cookie, chocolate crunch. That's definitely up there for me in terms of candy bars. I like the Reese's Big Cups, and I haven't tried this yet, but I guess they have like these like big cups with like Reese's Pieces in them. I'm curious how that tastes, but it's got to be good, I imagine. Otherwise, they wouldn't be selling it. So, interested to try that. But do you remember? These are actually probably my favorite. For Halloween, they had them at Halloween only. They had the Inside Out Reese's.
Yes, I do.
That was my favorite, and I just remember like asking my mom to buy these because like they were only sold at that certain time, and it was like powdered chocolate on the inside, but like that peanut butter shell on the outside. Oh, you put those in like you know, the fridge, and they're nice and cool. Like, oh, so good. Also into like, you know, gummy worms too. Can't go wrong with like gummy worms. The good Haribo ones are a good brand. So definitely the gummy worms. Haven't had candy in a long time. Can't tell you the last time I had candy, but those are definitely my favorites growing up.
Gotcha. Yeah. Unfortunately, I can't say the same for myself. I may or may not have had a little bit of candy that was sitting in our bucket before we gave it out to some trick-or-treaters tonight.
Oh, of course. Got to give it out to the trick-or-treaters. And it's tough when it's right there, for sure. I was actually craving something sweet after dinner and didn't have any candy. I was wishing I had some. So maybe I'll plan better next year.
There's always next year, right?
Yeah. But speaking of kind of the spooky season, you know, we had Coach Franklin talking about scaring the Terrapins, and he was talking a little bit in his presser today about explosive plays and how that one to Keandre is something that they want to do more of. And essentially in his presser today, I think he was really challenging the Terrapins. Like, he was saying, hey, if you guys are going to play us aggressive and really, you know, crowd the box, crowd the middle, he's like, we're going to beat you over the top. Kind of insinuating that a little bit. So what are your thoughts on his comments like that, that we need to do that more for that deep ball over the top to try to scare teams? What are your thoughts on that? And can they do that against Maryland?
Yeah, I mean, a couple things there. You know, number one, I like the confidence in, you know, because I also kind of take it as like a challenge issue to his own team, because he's like saying, you know, this is, you know, admittedly a stingy run defense. They like to load the box. They stop the run with pretty much every team that they've played so far. So this is like basically what we got to do. And we've shown that we have the capability to throw it over the top and do it successfully, albeit it is a very small sample size. But obviously Penn State has the athletes and the horses to kind of make this happen. So I think it's kind of interesting, though, this like kind of this 180 from what he was saying before, like when he kind of flamed that one beat reporter. you know, because I don't think it had kind of the same tenor, because he's not saying, yeah, we'll just chuck it up and we'll just like make it happen, like no matter what. So yeah, I think I kind of like it, kind of strike while the iron's hot a little bit. Like, I'm sure that this is sticking out in the team's mind. I'm hoping, praying, speculating that the team might have like a little spark of confidence in their ability to throw it down the field after this. Like, you know, it's kind of like one of those things that maybe you open the floodgates and everything just kind of falls into place after that. Like, you just start to see it more and more. So I like, you know, kind of just being outspoken about it. It's not something that he's like trying to keep like wrapped in bubble wrap and saying, oh, you know, like that's not like what we're trying to do all the time and stuff like that. He's like, no, like we want to be explosive. We want to be able to do these things when we have the opportunity to do so. And we've shown that like we can do it when these pieces align. So I do like that. But to the question of can they do it, I actually think they can. I think, you know, like when I'm looking at the teams that Maryland has played over the past three games of theirs. Really, really, really stingy rush defense. I mean, they have a very strong front seven. They limited Ohio State to under 70 yards rushing. They're averaging letting up only like 109 rushing yards per game. But where they are relatively a bit more vulnerable is through the air. Each of the quarterbacks after Kyle McCord threw for over 200 yards. So they were kind of, they were attackable downfield through the air. So obviously there's a lot of what ifs in that scenario, because it's going to require Drew to step up as a passer. It's going to require the line to pass protect more consistently, and it's going to require the receivers to create separation more consistently. Now, whether or not all three of those things are going to fall into place like they did on that last magical play against Indiana, only time will tell. But they have the players to do it. They just have to kind of all be on the same page and execute at the same time.
Yeah, I think so too. And when Franklin was going over players they were worried about on the defensive end, he went over Jason Barnum and Ruben Hippolyte, and then Bo Braid, the safety. So you got two linebackers and a safety there. That's smack dab in the middle of the field. And that's where we've seen Penn State have a lot of success early on in this season. They really like to attack the middle of the field with the tight ends. They really like those intermediate routes. However, that's the strength. That seems to be the strength of this Maryland defense, right in the middle. So I think Penn State is really going to need to use some speed in this one. I would really like to see them get Nick Singleton, running to the outside and using his speed, maybe doing some sweeps in this matchup, I think would be beneficial just due to Maryland's strength in the middle. And I think the wide receivers have an opportunity on the outside to make some big plays down deep.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, this is like, we've talked about it week in and week out now, but this is the prime week for another receiver to step up, to kind of join Keandre as like those consistent and reliable pass catchers, like basically the kind of players that you see them making the plays and they make it impossible for you to take them off the field because you know how important they are.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm kind of surprised at this point in the season, no one has really stepped up and really claimed that role. And I would say maybe Dante Cephas has the edge for that number two with Trey Wallace hurt, but no one has really seemed to go out there and want to get it and more, performing at a high level. And you saw Franklin in his presser today. He was taking some jabs at Pat Narduzzi.
Oh, yeah.
And Deion Sanders. He was saying that, hey, I'm trying to not avoid questions with the media guys, but he's like, I got to keep my team together on like certain coaches. So I thought that was a nice little jab there. But yeah, his thing was he said, hey, we have lots of talent in our room. We believe in all the guys. If we didn't believe in them, they wouldn't be here. So I'm really looking for one of them to have a breakout game. I think this is a really good opportunity to. Maryland has been vulnerable in the air and especially along the perimeter at the corner position. So I think this is a really good chance for someone to step up. And they're going to have to, because Maryland's a really good squad. This is not the kind of joke Maryland team from last year or even two seasons ago. They got a good squad. And they're going to be tough to beat. They're in the top 40 in both total offense and total defense. This is a very well-rounded team. Offensively, I think they're going to put up a good amount of points. They got Taulia Tagovailoa, and they got some wide receivers on the outside. They got Prather, really good player. They also got Jones. So those are two really good wide receivers. They also got a really good running back in Hemby, who can be used in not only the rushing game but the passing game. So that's a lot of speed. Maryland's more of a spread style team, and it's going to present a lot of challenges to this defense. And when you're coming off a performance like Indiana, where we were the ones getting beat over the top, it definitely could go really wrong really fast if they come out with that style of energy and that level of discipline with their assignments.
Yeah. You definitely can't have the level of miscommunication, missed assignments, and confusion on the defensive side of the football, because the strength of the Penn State team is still very much in the defense. When they're playing at their best and everybody's locked in, this is one of the best defenses in college football. But when they're not, when they're lackadaisical, when they're sleepwalking a little bit, you get long explosive plays against them like you saw in the Indiana game. I would say, generally speaking, if I had to like kind of say how confident I am that they're going to quote unquote bounce back for this game, I'm feeling pretty confident. And the reason why is because I think that Manny Diaz is not going to let his squad do this again, but also because I think this is a game that a lot of guys on this team really care about, similar to the Ohio State game in a way, because a lot of these guys on Penn State squad came from Maryland. They came from a lot of the same recruiting grounds that Penn State targets. A lot of these guys went to high school together, played each other in high school and stuff like that. So this is a game that like both teams really get up for. And so I'm thinking that, you know, like guys are going to be like pretty jazzed up. I mean, you could just look all across the defensive line and see guys in Maryland that were recruited by Maryland. And so they want to win this game. So I'm feeling like good about the team's like mental preparedness and energy coming into this one. And I also believe in Manny Diaz.
Yeah. And you saw Manny Diaz very animated on the sideline.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if this was a little extra thing they were doing, but for Halloween today, they had like someone dressed in the mannequin. And you saw Pitt do that a couple years ago where they had like someone standing in the mannequin spot and then like scaring people. So, you know, hopefully that wakes up the defense, that gets them ready to come back. But just based off of earlier performances in the season, I would say my concern level is maybe like a 2 out of 10, because you saw them go on the road to Illinois, played awesome. On the road against Northwestern, played awesome. On the road against Ohio State, played awesome. You know, pretty much lights out at home at Beaver Stadium outside of the Indiana game, where I'm sure if I was on that defense, I'd be really embarrassed with that performance and giving up 24 points when you're giving up 8 a game and only 20 to Ohio State, which is one of the best offenses in the country. So I think they're going to be really fired up. I think Manny Diaz is going to really scare them straight, and I think he's going to have them focused and locked in. And I think they're going to be back to more of their consistent selves. Now, what I'm more unsure of is the offense, because the offense we have not seen be able to go on the road this year and put together a good performance. Really, that Illinois game could have went bad if it weren't for the 5 turnovers that the Penn State defense created. And same with Northwestern. They were really reliant on good field position and turnovers. So, and we even had a turnover in the Northwestern game, and they held them to 3. So, you know, that defense has really been asked to step up a lot. And really, I think they might be a little fatigued, you know, physically and emotionally from that Ohio State game as well. So that's another week removed from that. You have also seen Maryland, you know, after a 5-0 start, drop their past 3 after losing to Ohio State. So we are not the only team that is struggling with these problems. But Maryland's a really good squad, and if you take them lightly and say, "Oh, it's a 5-3 team," you're going to be in a dogfight, or even worse. So they really have to be locked in and ready. I'm really hoping they can get the running game going early and not put too much on Drew's plate. Maybe he will have to beat them over a top a couple of times, because if I'm Maryland, I haven't seen him do that. I'm more concerned with the tight ends over the middle and, you know, Katron and Nick running the football from Maryland. So I'm sure they're going to like load the box, really stop those intermediate throws just like Ohio State did. I think they're going to kind of roll off of that blueprint. So that's how I expect them to attack us. So I think Drew is going to have to really hit on a couple of deep throws and beat them over the top to really make Maryland played them more honest and not as aggressive and cheating and moving up. So I think that's going to be a really important matchup to look for early in the game. So really hoping that he can hit Keandre a couple times. I think he'll do it just like he did against Indiana. But yeah, this is going to be another tough road test for the offense and our young quarterback.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, one thing that Drew is going to really need to be able to do is step up in his ability to read the defense and anticipate the blitz, because a lot of these defenses, you know, have the most success right now against Penn State's offensive line when they send an extra man and they're kind of disguising their blitzes and stuff like that. And, you know, so far Drew has struggled a little bit in anticipating it, seeing it, and then he's running for his life, and then things just kind of fall apart from there. So I think, I would anticipate that Maryland is going to do the same. They still, you know, they have a very talented front seven. So, you know, if I'm them, I'm saying, you know, I don't want Drew to like be able to settle in and like find his targets early, because, you know, we know that like if we can kind of rush things a little bit early historically this season, you know, he might kind of be throwing off his back foot a little bit more throughout the game. He might be a little off with, you know, trying to fit the ball into this perfect window for his receivers, out of harm's way from the defensive back or something like that. So I'd be sending some pressure his way. I think it's going to be up to him to, you know, kind of recognize that, plan for it, maybe, like audible the play, or, you know, just kind of trusting in the offensive coaching staff to say, okay, like, you know, we need this extra chip blocker here and stuff like that. Just kind of seeing the play before it happens and then finding that open man who's, you know, inevitably going to be open if they're sending extra guys on the blitz. So, you know, everybody's going to need to like step up in a game like this, because this is not Illinois. This is not Northwestern, like you've mentioned here. So, you know, this is just one that like, you really got to be locked in and focused and like trusting like what your eyes are seeing you and just flat out execute.
Yeah. I don't think Maryland has turned into a pumpkin yet. They have been shown to do that throughout the course of the season, usually after Halloween. That's what happens with their squad, and maybe they will, we don't know, but just based off the eye test and what I've seen, I think this is a really good squad. They've lost two really kind of heartbreaker close games. So I expect them to be up and ready. Maryland players hate Penn State. You're going to see a lot of trash talk in this one. I'm sure a lot of obscenities from the Maryland fan base, as we come to expect in this game. So I think it's going to be really tough. But I think Coach made another good point in his presser. And he said, hey, if you're bringing extra guys and you're being really aggressive and attacking the quarterback and you give up a slant for 8 yards and the other team gets a first down, if you're the defense, that's not necessarily the biggest deal in the world, because maybe you get that quarterback in a rush and maybe that forces them into, you know, errant mistakes, or their feet aren't right, and then they throw the ball into the ground or overthrow it. So speeding up the quarterback's clock is exactly what Maryland's going to try to do. So I expect them to do a lot of that, but Franklin said, you know, if we're really beating these guys over the top and scoring seven, they're going to stop bringing the blitz. But we need to really prove that we are capable of doing that, just like we did against West Virginia early and just like we did against Indiana late in that game last week.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, time will tell how prepared they are on the offensive side. Like I said, I'm kind of expecting the defense to rebound from, you know, a lackluster performance by their standards. So it's really just all eyes on the offense. But so we've talked about Jashawn Jones, Caden Prather, you know, a bunch of very talented linebackers. Are there any other Maryland guys that you've got your eyes on as far as like, you know, guys who could really disrupt things on the Penn State side of things, or really big playmakers who might give them fits?
I think Dykes, the tight end, might give them some fits potentially. He had 10 targets last week and had a nice game against Northwestern. So I think that's another guy that we haven't mentioned that Penn State fans should keep an eye out for on Saturday.
Nice. Yeah, I'll also just throw in Ty Felton on the wide receiver group as well, as the third starting receiver next to Jones and Prather. Very capable receiver in his own right. Tagovailoa really does have like a nice group of weapons to throw to. You know, I think that there's similar to like how we're talking about Drew, a lot of eyes are going to be on Tagovailoa as well from the Maryland side, because he's up and down, but he's always dangerous. Like, he's obviously a very talented passer. Obviously has good pedigree, you know, with what his brother's doing in the NFL. So very talented guy. And so, you know, it overall, this is going to be a good test for Kalen, for Johnny, for Jalen, for KJ, and for our pass rush as well.
Yeah. And I think this is going to be a really good challenge. Like you said, this Maryland team has a lot of speed, but thankfully we have a lot of talent in, you know, our three starting corners. So they've been playing really well. Safeties have been doing pretty good this year. So I think that's definitely, if you're a Penn State fan, that's the matchup you're going to look for. You're going to look for our corners versus their wide receivers. I think that's the biggest matchup of this game.
For sure. So. Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely going to be strength versus strength.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want to get into some over-unders?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Right now the spread is set at 10. Do you think Penn State is able to cover the spread?
I do, yeah. I think this is going to be a close one, you know, relative to the spread. I have Penn State covering just over.
Okay, I think that's fair. I have them covering as well. All right, for Penn State's offense, over or under 30.5?
I have under. I think this offense has struggled on the road. They haven't really shown me enough, especially recently, to make me believe that, you know, they're going to be putting up scores in bunches, like to the point like where they get close to the 40 mark. So I'm going to say under here.
All right, I'm going to say under as well. I think this is another good test, but Indiana's defense is worse, and they were at home, and they still didn't look ready. So I'm going to have to take the under as well. This is a really good Maryland defense, and especially if we're not hitting throws early, you could really see Penn State struggle. So I'm going to take the under. All right, over under 20.5 points for Maryland.
I have the under there as well. Like I said, I believe in Penn State's defense. I think they're going to rebound, so I'll take the under.
Yeah, I'll take the under as well. I expect defense to have a nice game and kind of look more like the squad that we've been used to seeing. All right, moving on to offense. All right, so Penn State has averaged 217 passing yards per game. Are we over or under that mark on Saturday?
I'll say over. Maryland is letting up an average of 231 passing yards per game. And that's against, you know, like some good quarterbacks in the Big Ten, but also some not so good quarterbacks in the Big Ten. I think I'm like riding high recency bias on that last big play from Drew, but Maybe that gave him the spark that he needed, man. So I'll take the over.
You know what? I'm going to be optimistic too. You're rubbing off on me. I don't think it's going to be by a lot. Like, I think it'll be closer to like maybe 230 passing yards from Drew. But I do think he's going to do enough to really put Penn State in a nice position. So, yeah, I'll take the over. All right, on the ground, we talked a lot about offensive line play. Do you think the offensive line is able to bounce back? And do you think Penn State can get over 175 rushing yards?
Oh, no, I'm taking under there, man. This is a strong rushing defense for Maryland. They're letting up only 109 rushing yards per game. Penn State has struggled to run the ball recently. That offensive line just is not opening up those lanes. I don't think that Nick and Katron can do it themselves to the tune of 200 yards rushing between the two of them. So I'm going to take under.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under as well. I just think Maryland's going to really stack the box. And because of, you know, them doing that, I think it's going to cause Penn State to really attack the field more vertically. I think Maryland's going to force us to do that. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the under as well. All right, moving on to the defense. Do you think that we can hold Maryland under 280 passing yards, which is their average for the season?
Yeah, for sure. This is a really, really good passing defense for Penn State still. They had an uncharacteristic week last week, like we've been saying. I expect them to bounce back this week. I'm expecting an energized pass rush from this team. I think they're going to give Tagovailoa fits. So I'm going to say they're going to have under that 280 mark.
Yeah, I do think it's going to be very close. I do expect Tagovailoa to put up a lot of passing yards. I think it's going to be probably around 260 to 270. I think they're going to do well. And I think there's going to be some times where the Penn State players make some big plays. And I think there's going to be times where Maryland receivers are going to win some one-on-one matchups. So I'll take the under, but not by a lot. All right, moving on to Hemby and Company. Over or under 138 rushing yards for the Terrapins?
I'll say under. I think they'll bounce back. They did a pretty decent job of stopping the run with a couple of, dangerous teams. I don't know what the rushing numbers were against Ohio State for Ohio State, but I don't think they were up in those figures. So I'll take under here.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under as well. As of late, the Penn State defense has been really good at stopping the run, even with Indiana. So I'm going to take the under. I'm feeling pretty good about that one. All right, moving on to takeaways. Does the defense force over or under 2.5 turnovers?
Oh man, that's tough. I will say under. I'm seeing 2 turnovers here.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under as well. I'm seeing 2. I think it's going to be really critical in this game, the turnover battle. That is something that Maryland has lost when they've been playing most of their recent opponents. So I think that's going to be really critical to the Nittany Lions' success, is the ability for them to force turnovers on the road and really take the Maryland crowd out of it. That way, it can be more of a, Nittany Lion party in the student section, just like it was when you were there for that, what was that, 51-0 blowout?
59. Yeah, 59-0.
59-0. Wow. That was a great day. I just remember watching that on TV and thinking, man, Andrew and Bill must be having the best time.
Yeah, it was fun. I'm not going to lie.
All right. So speaking of turnovers, we saw Drew have his first turnover of the season last week. Over or under 1.5 turnovers for Drew and Company?
I'll take the under. The team overall is still very good at protecting the football. I don't really expect that to change, even if Drew is going to maybe be taking more shots downfield. We don't know what the case is going to be there yet. Even when he has taken his limited shots down the field on the road, they've been kind of that corner shoulder type throw that isn't in super harm's way of being picked off. So even if we are taking those kinds of shots, I don't really think that Drew is going to be just under throwing it to the point where the corner is going to be able to pick it off. So I'll take the under.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under as well. I do think he'll have one just from being in the pocket longer. So I'm going to see at least one. But once he has that turnover, I think he's going to respond just like he did against Indiana. So I'm going to go with one turnover for the Penn State offense. All right, moving on to sacks. Over or under 3.5 sacks for Penn State?
I will take the over. I'm feeling, pretty good about this pass rush, even if Chop Robinson is not going to be healthy to go in this game, which is a real shame because, that's his former team. But, if I'm looking back at some of their more recent games here, I mean, they give up 6 sacks in Northwestern. So this is a very good defensive line for Penn State. I like their ability to get to the quarterback. I think they just got to, get over that hump a little bit with some of these all out blitzes that they do, but I'm liking their sack production for this game. So I'll take the over here.
Yeah, I think they're going to be really inspired with Chop probably being unable to go. So I think the Penn State team is going to be really inspired. I think they're going to get after it. This Maryland team, they have a lot of speed and they like to throw the ball. That takes a lot of time for those routes to develop, which means there's going to be a lot of opportunities for our pass rushers. So I'm seeing 4 sacks. I was actually hoping you would go under with on that one and that we would disagree a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got the over as well. I'm seeing 4 sacks, 1 for each quarter for the defense. All right, moving on to our offensive line. Over or under 2.5 sacks?
Yeah, that's a tough one as well. I think that I think I'll still take the under here because even if Drew is going to be like hanging out in the pocket, maybe waiting for some of those longer shots to develop, Penn State still likes to be very balanced on the offensive side of the football. James Franklin has said so, said as much many times already. And so I think, you know, for as many times as we're going to see Drew look to take some shots, we're also going to be seeing a healthy dose of Nick and Catron, as we should be. So I'm, you know, kind of seeing or I'm anticipating that that balance will kind of like you kind of put forth many times here. You know, it's not going to, there's going to be fewer shots on goal to sack the quarterback when the ball is out of the quarterback's hands. If you're running kind of more of a balanced offense. So I'll take the under here.
Yeah. I think I might take the over on this one just because I think Penn State is going to be forced to throw more. I think there's going to be times where Drew takes big plays and then maybe times where offensive line loses and he just gets sacked. So I think they're going to be really attacking the ball downfield more. And I think it's going to give Maryland some more opportunities. So I'm going to, I think it's going to be close. Maybe Maryland gets like 3, but yeah, I think they'll get over that 2.5 marker.
Okay.
All right. Communion prediction. What do you got?
So I'm riding high with that final play from Drew to Keandre. I probably shouldn't be because that was one single play out of an entire game of very poor offense, but screw it. That's why we're fans, right? We're supposed to get excited and pumped about big plays like that. So I'm seeing a 4 touchdown game day for Drew through the air, just like in the game against Iowa. You know, just to kind of put some extra flavor on it, I'm seeing 2 the tight ends, 1 to a running back, and then 1 to insert receiver here. So 4 touchdowns for Drew. That is my communion prediction.
That's a good one. I like that a lot. I think that's very possible. For me, I'm going to say I'm kind of going to double down. So last week, one of my communion predictions at the tailgate was that Keandre Lambert was going to have over 100 yards receiving and a touchdown. He had 96 yards and a touchdown. So he was just short. But I do think that's going to come through this next week. So that is what I'm rolling with.
Sweet. I like it.
All right. Final score prediction. What do you got for us, Andrew?
So I think this is going to be a close game. Emotional game on both sides. Like I said, both of these teams really get up for this game. They both want to win it for a multitude of reasons. I think when you look at the teams top to bottom, I still think that Penn State has the advantage in terms of overall talent. I think that what Maryland brings to the table as far as like a dangerous offense, I think Penn State counters very well when they are executing and, you know, kind of doing their jobs across the board. And, you know, I think that this is like just a perfect time for them on the offensive side of the ball to strike while the iron's hot. Really just kind of reinvigorate this passing game and make this a truly dynamic and difficult offense to deal with. And so when all is said and done, I see Penn State winning this one 28-17.
That's a good score. I was thinking about going around there, but I do think you're going to see Penn State held to field goals. So I'm seeing 3 touchdowns, 3 field goals. Final score, I'm going to go 30-17. I think we're both in the same thought process here. We think that Penn State is able to win by 2 possessions when it's all said and done.
I think that's like, I don't want to say like a fair assumption, but you know, a reasonable, prediction.
Yeah. And this is based off of our defense looking like themselves.
Exactly.
Like if they don't look like themselves.
Yeah.
And they look like they did against Indiana. You're going to see Maryland in the 30s. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. So we didn't really talk about football last week with other teams. So before we get into this week's matchups, what are some surprises you have from week 8 of college football?
Yeah, so I mean, there are actually some really good games, some tense moments from this past week. I mean, you have Oregon. I mean, not really like an exciting game, but they laid the wood to Utah. Really established themselves nicely, which is reflective in their college football playoff ranking. You had Kansas upsetting Oklahoma. That was a big upset. On their side, you had USC barely escaping the Cal Bears, which was incredible. I mean, they had to win by a score of 50-49, thus further cementing their dire dependence on Caleb Williams to be able to produce ungodly amounts of offense. Washington escaping Stanford, nearly got upset there, really took like the receiver dropping an easy completion for them to escape with that one. You had Ohio State kind of pull away from Wisconsin late in that game. It was tight and it was competitive through most of that game, but then kind of, you know, similar to many other situations with Ohio State, just like their talent won out. And so they won that one 24-10. Arizona continues to have, you know, some surprising moments in this season. They upset Oregon State, who was and is still ranked. They won that game 27-24. That's a really good win for them. DJ Uiagalelei at Oregon State is doing a really nice job as, you know, their transfer quarterback. They're a dangerous team. They're a good team. So that was a really good win for Arizona. So those are the ones that like kind of caught my eye. But, you know, there were so many this past week.
So many good football games. You also had another rivalry game between Tennessee and Kentucky. Tennessee was able to win a tough one on the road. You had UCLA beating Colorado. That was a good one. And for the second year in a row, you have North Carolina losing to unranked Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
4-4 squad. And a couple of weeks ago, I was thinking this Tar Heel team might have a chance to knock off Florida State with Drake May. And they've been looking really good. But it's looking like they might not even make it to the ACC championship game.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, the ACC is a, once again, it's just a very weird conference.
Yeah, very strange one indeed. So for this week's college football action, outside of our game, what games are you looking forward to watching?
So number one on my list is Alabama-LSU. Both of these teams have losses on their record. They're both very good. So this is a very important game for both of these teams to win in the SEC West race. You know, the SEC overall is still very winnable for, you know, the top 3 to 4 teams that are still up there at the top. So this is going to be a highly contested one, huge rivalry between those two schools. So that'll be great. You have Washington playing USC. Washington, after their really, really strong game against Oregon, they haven't looked like, you know, the unstoppable juggernaut like they had been. I mean, obviously they're still undefeated here, but USC is obviously an enormously dangerous team offensively. Washington has given up a bunch of points to teams like Stanford. So if you throw Caleb Williams into a situation like that, like what's possible, who knows? You got Colorado and Oregon State. I mean, I think, you know, the Cinderella story is, you know, wearing off more and more as the college football season goes on with Colorado. But I still think that's still going to be a very entertaining game. Let's see. You also have,
hopefully Dion can get some new linemen for that one.
Exactly. Maybe just in the nick of time. You got Notre Dame Clemson. Dude, did you see some of the comments that Dabo was slinging around earlier this week? Our dude is getting heated.
I did not catch his comments. What did he say for our listeners who are like me?
So I guess this was like a, it's like a radio show where some, where people can like call in. And I don't know if this was like a student or if it was just general fan or something like that, but basically they were criticizing him and their team for going 4-4 when he's making the kind of money that he does, which, you know, is fair in of itself, you know, because he's like one of the highest paid coaches in college football and stuff like that. And Dabo basically said something, and I'm going to paraphrase here, like, you're part of the problem. If you think that you could do better, like, you apply for the job and we'll see how you do. But until then, just like, be quiet. Like, I started out as one of the lowest paid coaches in college football. I worked my ass off to get to where I am today. And so, you know, this just doesn't help anything, basically. And the guy is getting a little fed up with the criticism that's coming his way after their most recent loss to NC State. I think this is it's an interesting crossroads for Dabo and Clemson, because like Clemson for, you know, the better part of like, what was it, like 6 to 8 years alongside Alabama was the class of college football. And Dabo looked like he was building like the program of the future, and like with his culture and with his strong recruiting and stuff like that. But a lot of people are kind of saying that maybe the game of college football has passed him by a little bit. He's not utilizing the transfer portal in a lot of strategic and various ways in which other college football programs and coaches are doing, i.e. Deion Sanders and some others out there. And so now they are, you know, kind of falling behind in that respect. And maybe that's being reflected a little bit in their win-loss record. So this is going to be an interesting, like kind of period coming up for Clemson. I mean, this is one, you know, anomaly of a season in an otherwise stellar like career at Clemson so far for Dabo. I mean, for God's sakes, the guy won two national championships. So, kind of interesting, but yeah, so they actually, Clemson, they have a game against, number 12 or, I don't know where they're ranked in the college football playoff.
Number 15.
Got it. Okay.
In the college football playoff, number 15, which we'll talk about too.
So number 15 in the college football playoff poll, Notre Dame, I believe they're at Clemson for this one. So that'll be interesting to see. I mean, Clemson still, you know, they still got some dudes. They got Cade Klubnik back there, 5-star guy out of high school. So that'll be an interesting game. But what about you? What other games you got? What do you got your eye on? You got Texas K-State too.
Yeah, Texas K-State. I was going to say that one. My friends Wildcats are back to being a ranked squad. So, you know, great. That's great for them. You also have, I don't know if you said Ole Miss at home against A&M. Ole Miss is one of those teams who also jumped Penn State in the poll. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit. You know, Penn State being ranked number 11. I don't know if it's going to be a great game, but I think it might be comical. Is number 4, Florida State at Pitt. That could be a fun game to watch if we're able to play well. You also got number 12, Missouri at number 2, Georgia, which they lost their spot at number 1 after a very long period of staying there. You also have the Oklahoma State rivalry game. That's going to be awesome. Oklahoma's just coming off a heartbreaking loss to Kansas. It'll be, you know, fun to see if they can bounce back, especially against an Oklahoma State team that is really hot, and this is going to be their second week in a row on the road, so it'll be good to see if they can bounce back. You got Purdue at Michigan, Washington, USC, LSU, Alabama, just like you said, really exciting. UCLA at Arizona. I'm really interested to see that one. Probably won't because it's a 10:30 kickoff. But, hey, the Cats are hot, man. They've been playing at a high level. They've clobbered Washington State. They beat Oregon State. UCLA might be the next victim on their list. So really looking forward to that one. And then you also have number 1 Ohio State at Rutgers. So it'll be interesting to see if Rutgers is able to compete with Ohio State. And then also, I think that's going to be a nice little scouting report for our team, because we have a very similar squad defensively to Ohio State, both really good defenses. And then offensively, we got some good running backs. Our receivers obviously aren't to the caliber of Ohio State, but it'll be interesting to see how they do against that tough Rutgers defense.
Yeah, absolutely. Good games no matter where you look.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, once I get up and I get my bike ride in, it's going to be like college football rest of the day.
That's right.
Yeah, that's how you got to do it. So anything else you want to cover? Oh, we got to talk about the college football playoffs. So what are your thoughts on the college football playoffs committee at having Penn State number 11? Do you think it is a fair ranking, or do you think they need to be higher on the list?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, at this point, I'm not too bent out of shape about it. When I'm looking at the other one-loss teams that are in front of them, the thing that is really sticking out with all of them is that they have like high-profile wins. And you know, when and so when they're stacking the wins as like their primary source of like consideration for their ranking, then what they kind of go to, it seems like, is maybe like the recent eye test, you know, because like who would you say is like Oregon's best win of the year so far? It might be Colorado, but you know, outside of that close loss to Washington, they've looked really, really solid. They've looked really, really good and consistent on both sides of the ball, et cetera, et cetera. Texas beat Alabama. Alabama has beaten, you know, a couple of other teams, including Ole Miss, who's number 10 here. Oklahoma obviously beat Texas in that thriller in the Red River rivalry. So behind, and Ole Miss beat up on Tulane, who's also a ranked opponent. So right now, like as far as the college football playoff poll is concerned, Penn State doesn't have any ranked wins. So if we're kind of using that as like our primary consideration here, it kind of seems, you know, like that's, it makes sense that that the committee would have put them there. I still think that Penn State is deserving of being a top 10 team. They really just have to go out there and prove it. Like we're in the exact same position that Penn State was in a couple weeks ago, right up to the point like where they played Ohio State. It's like, yeah, all these other teams are in front of them, but if they take care of business, then the ranking is going to take care of itself. If you go out there and you beat Michigan, like that's going to carry a ton of weight. And that's the reason why Ohio State is ranked number one right now. They have two top seven victories from the AP poll section of this season so far in Penn State and in Notre Dame. So yeah, by that criteria, they should be number one. So if you follow that same train of logic, if you see Penn State beat Michigan, their number is going to skyrocket. So it's really just, for me, we're back to like, don't worry about it. Just go out there, play, win the games that are in front of you, and everything will fall into place from there.
Yeah, I definitely thought 9 was way too high for us. You had Oklahoma drop behind us, and their loss was to, you know, tough Jayhawks in a road environment. We were a very, very good squad. I was really impressed with their backup quarterback, able to lead them. But they also have wins over Texas, so they've beat somebody. We haven't beat anybody yet. We haven't beat any really talented squad. So I think you could even make the argument that Missouri should be ahead of Penn State at 11. Now, obviously, Penn State has you know, a lot more of an acumen over the past few years, but that Missouri squad looks good. I saw them play LSU, which was a kind of their heartbreaking loss, and it was just kind of one of those games where whatever team had the ball last was going to win it. Louisville has a chance to be up there. LSU's not too far behind. So, yeah, I think Penn State's in a good spot. I think they really need to be outside the top 10. They haven't played anybody. Now, I think they'll have a really good opportunity to move up if they can take care of business against solid squads like Maryland and Rutgers. I think those are two solid ones. I don't think they're going to get that win over Michigan. But if they can win 3 out of their last 4, finish 10-2, just like we expect them to, then, you know, it's going to be a very high ranking for Penn State at the end of the season.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's just all you can do is play the teams that are in front of you. And the committee will obviously take note of what you're good at, what you're not good at, where your shortcomings are, and evaluate your team against other teams based on the same analysis. So I just don't think it's worthwhile for anybody in Nittany Nation to like split hairs or get upset about the ranking as it stands right now, because, you know, like Penn State just needs to, you know, focus on finishing the season strong to give them the best shot to compete for the Big Ten and also for, you know, a shot at getting into the college football playoff field.
Yeah, absolutely. Any more football stuff before you want to start winding things down?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, this will be an exciting game. Penn State Maryland game has been, a fun one as a fan over the past like handful of years. I mean, really dating back now to almost a decade. Like, they're never not entertaining for one reason or another. So this will be a good game. I'm really excited to see like how this new fiery, like energized Drew looks on the road now. I mean, you saw him after the game against Indiana. He was all jacked up, like with the win cam and stuff like that. I'm hoping that we see more of that Drew, because I think that, you know, when the will and the belief match the arm and the capabilities, like, we're going to see something special. So I'm hoping that special comes this Saturday in College Park.
Yeah, me too. I would love to see another 59-0 victory. Hopefully they can kind of look like that, Scott. That'd be pretty sick. But hey, if you are in the Central PA area and you can't make it down to the Maryland game, plenty of good events are going to be happening here. We have a hockey series with Notre Dame. The hockey team's opening Big Ten play. So they are going to be playing Notre Dame. So they'll be playing at 7:30 after the game at Maryland on Saturday, and then at 4:30 on Sunday. So if you're in the Valley, check them out. Men's soccer also is playing on Friday evening. They're playing at 6:00, and basketball season starts. Believe it or not, basketball season is here. Penn State is going to be squaring off against Delaware State Monday at 7 p.m. I'm looking forward to heading to that and seeing Coach Rhodes first game as a Nittany Lion. So that's going to be really exciting for me personally, just after all the fun I had in Shrewsbury's last year. It'll be fun to see how Coach Rhodes does at the helm. So that's going to be fun. And lastly, big one. I got a question for you. Do you think we have a better chance of number 16 women's volleyball upsetting number 1 Nebraska at home this Friday night at 8:30 in a whiteout environment in Rec Hall? Or do you think it's more likely that we upset Michigan, who's ranked number 3 in the country right now in football? Which one do you think is more likely to happen?
I'll take volleyball. I think that Rec Hall is a special place. It's a special environment, certain energy that comes with it. Nebraska, I mean, they're a historically great school when it comes to volleyball, but so is Penn State. So you never know what'll happen. Got to get that home field advantage going. Got to, get the energy flowing through Rec Hall. But yeah, anything can happen.
Yeah. I think I would be a little bit closer to football if it was a night game and a whiteout. I think that's what you really need. You need that type of energy. I don't know if the big noon kickoff is going to quite cut it. Like, you need a different energy. And Nebraska is a huge volleyball fan base. They've actually have more views for their volleyball games on national television than they do for their football team. I think the women's volleyball team has about 610,000 views, and I think football's around 500,000. So this is a really good Nebraska squad. They're ranked number 1 in the country for a reason. They're a volleyball school. So I think it's going to be tough, but I'm going to go to the volleyball as well. And I'm really hoping that Penn State can pull off the upset in my first ever women's volleyball game that I plan on attending. So that's something I'm really looking forward to this weekend, along with football.
And just so you know, if you when you go, and if they do win, you're never allowed to not be there for a women's volleyball match ever again. You are like legally required to attend every women's volleyball game from then on.
Yeah, I'm definitely, if they beat Nebraska, I will definitely make sure I'm making time in my schedule to attend more, because that is a really good team coming in. If we can upset them, that means we got a really strong squad too. So definitely looking forward to it. And something I've been meaning to do for years, it just hasn't lined up in my schedule. And man, it's going to be a jacked up environment. I know Rec Hall is like smaller, so it's going to be really loud. And yeah, let's do it. You got hockey, women's volleyball, you got basketball, football season, like just everything. This is like the probably the best sports time of the year.
Yeah, I would agree. All the worlds are colliding, and we've got wrestling right around the corner too.
Yep. Oh yeah, really excited for our number one wrestling squad. Let's see. Really hoping they can do the three-peat. You got them winning?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, they have some of the best wrestlers in the world at their respective weight classes, like still in college. I mean, Aaron Brooks, still a Penn State wrestler, just won an under 23 world championship in his weight class. Carter Sturacci recently announced that he is coming back for his fourth and final season for the Nittany Lions before fully transitioning over to preparing for the Olympics. He's going to be a heavy favorite to win the national championship again. I believe he would be Penn State's first four-time national champion. I believe Aaron Brooks is also a three-timer as well. So, I mean, they have a chance to do something really, really special. And, you know, some of those younger guys that they had at the different weight classes, like Levi Haynes, having a season under his belt is only going to, like, college wrestling is so much like, you know, when you have a season to really kind of diagnose and kind of reflect and just grow, especially in a program of the caliber of Kale Sanderson's, like that can pay humongous dividends. So I'm expecting, you know, just kind of more of the same from the wrestling squad, which is just excellence.
Awesome. All right. So I agree as well. I'm really looking forward to some wrestling matches as well. Andrew, can you put a bow on this one and tell fans how they can help us out here?
For sure. Yep. So you can check out our website at nittanyblues.com. You can learn a little bit more about the show, a little bit about myself and Vince. You can listen to all of our previous episodes there. There's also some information about how you can help us out here at the Nittany Blues podcast with a small monetary donation that just helps us keep the show going, do some different things with our content that'll be fun and interesting for you guys out there in Nittany Nation. And you can also check out our merch at shop.nittanyblues.com. We got some really cool and unique designs there. So you'll definitely want to go and check that out. But yeah, Vince, take it away.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening today. If you want to help us out, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. If you enjoy the show, subscribe. We're on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else podcasts are found. Thank you guys for listening today, and we want to remind you that we are
the Nittany Blues Podcast. We'll see you next time.